What do you think in general is Web3 before we even begin talking about our projects?
I think
in your opinion, because everyone's kind of
I think Web3 comes after Web2 and before Web4.
Okay, no kidding. Tell me something I don't know.
I think Web3, well, it is like the unknown, right?
I've thrown you in the deep end, huh?
Yeah.
Like define the Web3.
You've thrown me in the Web3, man.
In the metaverse.
In the deep web.
Yeah.
You go.
No.
I don't know what sort of answer you expecting me to say.
I don't know, like what, because everyone's got their own idea about Web3, actually. Seriously, look, right? Like it's so new. Everyone's kind of trying to make sense of it. Yeah, it's become a buzzword, and the fact is that yes, you're right. You're spot on that. It's supposed to be the evolution of Web 1 and Web 3 and Web 2.
Yeah,
but deeper than that, the whole concept behind it is to decentralize and to make it a democratic space.
So at the start, I thought Web3 was just an evolution, but I didn't understand the tech behind it.
Yeah. And most people, the mainstream don't.
Yeah, that's right. Now I know there's a different tech behind it that enables the Web3 to be or to become what it could be, right?
Yeah.
But the way someone explained at a meetup about Web3, they say, you don't need to understand the tech behind it. You just need to understand that it's the next thing.
Okay.
Just use it. Just like, if you're curious about it, just don't worry about how the blockchain is enabling these.
Right.
And how the computers are generating, you know. Don't worry about all the nonsense, because at the moment you're using the internet the way you are.
And you don't really question it, how it works.
You're not questioning what the server is for Amazon that is providing you with that website, you know.
Do you think that's because it's accessible, though? Like, you don't have to think about it. Like the internet, it's accessible in the sense that, you know, anyone can open a laptop or go on their phone
and just
Google, right? Well, that at least, I don't know, I'm assuming here, but like most people, that would be their first starting point when accessing the quote unquote internet. But it could, arguably, it could be any other channel. It could be Instagram, or it could be, you know, Facebook. But I guess what I'm going with this is that it's accessible because it's tangible.
Yep.
I don't know if Web3 is fully tangible just yet.
I don't think so. I don't think it is just yet. I mean, you need to look for it. You don't come across it just the way you come across the internet that we use right now.
I suppose unless you're going to like a metaverse platform.
Yep.
Then you could argue that that's tangible.
Sandbox.
Exactly.
Meta.
Exactly. Yeah. Unless you own land in one of those metaverses and like that.
You know that's 98% down in sales now?
Sorry, second?
It's 98% down in sales compared to this time last year.
I read this
digital land.
That was insane. And I read this article that was saying that 2023 will be the year in which it's either a complete flaw or it becomes
like make
a
or
thing.
Break.
Well, that's what this article said, right? But it's kind of hard to know.
Who's your source? What's this article?
Forbes.
Okay.
So
I think it'll be like, oh, someone put it on Facebook.
No. No. I mean, someone could say that Forbes also
they do it from a business financial point of view.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's their perspective, I guess.
Yeah, I would guess. But I thought it was interesting because, I mean, I feel like I've been talking about the Web3 for a while now. And, you know, it's almost the end of 2022 and I still don't see it being adopted by everyone.
No, it's a massive learning curve, and I bet your wife and my wife, they've heard about it because of us.
Yeah.
And then they've heard about it outside.
Yeah.
But it all started because of only a few selected individuals in this case.
The early adopters of it.
Well, yeah. But look, a lot of companies are getting into it, and a lot of money has been put into that as well. And you only hear the headlines, you only read the headlines, right?
Yeah.
Or I guess you can hear
headlines. Which a lot of it, it's actually negative, unfortunately. I feel like it's gotten bad rep.
Yep. But in reality, it's all about, like you said, the early adopters.
Yeah.
Who's doing the research and development, and everyone's well, not everyone, but anyone who's interested could get into and can get into it.
We have. That's how we started. Actually, yeah. That's how we ended up working on some Web3 projects. Correct. It was mainly because we just became
fanatics, not even
right, like we were just curious about NFTs.
Yeah, that's right,
that was our entry point. NFTs, non-fungible tokens, in case you know someone doesn't know, it's basically
it's the monkey, the Bored Ape.
Right,
that's an NFT.
Right, but it's a digital piece.
Yeah, we'll put an image of that here.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, just for a visual reference. Just, yeah. But in terms of what it actually means is, you know, it's this almost unique and impossible to replicate piece of...
art? Like,
well, yeah. Contract. That's what I was trying to find. It's a smart contract. So, you know, no one can replicate what you have. And you have these like media.
It's backed by that.
Yeah, exactly.
That contract, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the...
Essentially we started that way. Like we're like, oh, what's this NFT thing? I think mainly because it was visual. We love the aspect of, you being able to own a piece of artwork. And we started chatting about it like early this year. And then that led to another thing. And then eventually
like
we started...
Or something like that.
Yeah, around there. Really? And then, yeah, that's how eventually we ended up working for a project.
I think at the end of last year, you and I started talking about it, but I was away. And then we really got into it once we met up back in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, first project, man.
The first thing we did was we bought some NFTs. Yeah, we lost some money in NFTs, as I guess a lot of people.
99% of people who buy into the space.
Which now I think in retrospective, if the NFT space wasn't connected to the artwork, the art world, I'm going to say, I wouldn't have bought into it, right? Like if you were trading NFTs and the NFTs were... I don't know, like it was linked to real estate or any other industry, I wouldn't have like even looked at it, right? Yeah. So
it's a visual aspect that draw you into that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes.
100%.
Well, we are visual individuals.
Exactly. So I think like a lot of people.
That's the reason why we got into the first project. So I remember scrolling through Instagram.
Yeah.
And then coming across this really cool artwork of sloths.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it in Spanish, sloths? Do you remember?
Perezosos.
Perezosos, that's right.
Yeah.
So we went through that. We found them and I thought, oh, that's cool. So I follow through the links.
Yeah.
Like websites and stuff. And I saw a website and it's like a...
Really, it was a really basic website.
Yeah, it was poorly designed. Clearly they were putting all the eggs in the
artwork
basket,
yes, right? 100%.
Not the web presence, but the artwork itself. It was amazing.
Even like, though the page was basic, like you could see the work stand out. Like the design of everything, the layout on the website was like really boring. But then you saw the slots, the NFTs on its own, and they were like really cool.
Yeah, and I remember sending that to you. I was like, should we just reach out and see if they're interested in, you know, doing some sort of collaboration.
I remember you told me that and I thought, you know what? There's nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And this will be the perfect opportunity for us to learn. As well. Yeah. Because at that point, even though we had bought a few NFTs...
We were on the consumer side of things.
We were still on the consumer side. Exactly. Yeah. And what was interesting then, and still is today, was I actually want to be... part of this wave that's building, in a sense, what the Web3 is. You know, like I always fantasize about the guys that, you know, were back in 1999 building the, you know, the Web 2 version. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, well, actually back then it would have been like the Web 1.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it felt like that to me anyway. So I thought, yeah, let's reach out and see what these guys
say. So... We didn't get into the building the actual technology of blockchain because in order to do that, you need a Web3 developer.
Correct.
I think it's the new term for that.
Yep.
Someone who understands all that stuff. But we were in the middle, I would say, we're in the middle of the Web 2 and Web 3 from a user experience point of view.
Yeah, I think so.
Putting the visuals together for that page, but also understanding the user journey, right?
Yeah, because we basically said to them, hey, your website sucks, let's redesign it, right? In other words. And so
the opportunity, yeah, to put it lightly.
Yeah. And so the opportunity was like, what they, these guys, so the team that we reached out, they already, you know, were doing all the artwork, they were doing all the smart contracts. They were basically deep in the weeds of, you know, doing all that stuff. And then for us, like, you know, the way in which we saw this opportunity working was, we're gonna uplift your site, and so you can tell a better story, and then you eventually can get people interested in the project.
They had a good cause behind it as well.
They did.
They were, they will donate some of the profits to not for profit organization that would.
Yeah, they had a sanctuary in Costa Rica.
That's a word. Thank you. That's a word. Sanctuary.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would obviously look after the animals and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that wasn't being told on the website, or it was like a,
it was
like a disclaimer somewhere.
Yeah, you know? It was, but it just wasn't getting across. They weren't communicating the message.
Yeah. And we thought that's the first thing you have to do, right? You gotta tell people about this in a better way.
I remember also like we were like brainstorming how can we offer something to these guys, and then at some point we thought we design experiences, right? Yeah. And so how can we make the end-to-end experience of this project a good one? Because don't forget,
branded.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm not sure if that's where you're going with, but it was like,
well, how
not joined, right? Like not disjoint, like.
Yeah, well, how can you make it easy for someone that doesn't know anything about NFTs to come to this website, see the artwork, understand the cause behind it, see that it's a legitimate project, feel like this project is safe to buy into. I remember that was a big thing for us.
Yep.
And then after the website, there are other touch points. So then you have to connect your wallet. Like, how do you make that easy?
Yeah.
How do you also add funds to your wallet and make it feel like it's safe, that you're not losing money or you're getting scammed?
Yep.
So we basically told them like, we can help you design all those touch points in a way that tell a good story, and that they also make the end customer, or like, you know, the person buying the NFT feel like they're in a safe place.
The thing with this, with buying into these projects, is that you go from the Twitter or from the Instagram or even the website, then you need to join the community, right?
Yes.
And then once you so that's another touch point.
Yeah.
Once you join the community, you are whitelisted, which is what they call.
Correct.
And then so all these, and then you have to go back to the website and wait for the date, for the mint date.
Yep. Yep.
Which is when you can mint or buy this.
Exactly.
This, so that's another touch point.
Which was all a bit disjointed.
So from a user point of view, like if you, let's say right now you wanna go and buy a t-shirt.
Yep.
You don't have to join
a community online.
Yeah, and you don't have to fight for that spot. Yeah. You don't have to, you know, all you have to do is go to the website, add to your card, and even your card details might be already on your computer or your phone.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about that, right?
Yeah.
So it's like that. I mean, it's seamless.
Yeah.
This one, like, I already took you through all these weeds, you know, to get.
Yeah.
And you still haven't got the product in your hands, right?
That's it. It goes back to a point of not being accessible. It was just super ad hoc in that sense.
Mm.
That's why it allowed for a lot of scams, right? But I guess like for me, it's always been that thing of how can we contribute, being you know, UX and UI people that basically are every day. It's like, how can we make things easier, and user friendly? How can we introduce that into a Web3? And that's kind of how it all started.
This is the first step in the right direction.
Yeah.
If you think about it, we're not designing a metaverse. We're just designing a landing page that allows you, or a website that allows you to interact with the Web3, which in this case is buying an NFT, right?
Yeah.
I feel like anyone interested in this space should start somewhere there. Like, don't.
What can you do? What can you offer?
Don't worry about 10,000 pieces of NFT, you know, project kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about doing that. Maybe what can you do, like you said,
yeah,
in that space?
Do you, like, is there anything that you took away from that project?
I took all the money, man, and left.
Jeez. No, actually, we should say that that project went nowhere in the end.
Yeah.
But what was the lesson?
Ran out of funds and then just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But we, you and I went in knowing that.
Well, oh,
not,
yeah.
Not knowing that was going to happen. Yeah. We went in knowing that that was a possibility.
It's like we've seen in other episodes, actually, where, like, you know, we put that project into our criteria. Are we going to learn something here? Are we going to have fun with it? Yeah. Is this going to give us a portfolio piece? You know, and, like, I think the money, we ruled it out right away because we weren't there for the money. It was for the fun and to learn.
It was, we were basically just learning at our own pace, and
yeah,
it paid. I think it paid off.
We did.
Because we walked out of there with
great portfolio piece. I think I've always been very proud of that project because we had all the creative freedom we wanted.
100%. So what I take from that is, I think, is that the learnings went 100%.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I walk out of there, and we walked out of there with an NFT.
As well,
for free.
Right? But was there anything that you were like, I didn't expect this to go this way, or like anything that surprised you about the space?
I think it was surprisingly easy to make it work. I thought it were gonna be like all these hurdles and
I thought they were gonna, because
I remember you designing the user journey when you connect your wallet.
Yeah.
If you were whitelisted, if you know what, if you were not.
There were a lot of
scenarios. Too early, if you were too late.
Yeah.
And I remember you designed all this and some sort of visual and blueprint. And I was like, something's going to break here, man.
Yeah.
And then we gave it to the developers and they're like, yeah, that's fine. I was like, oh, okay.
That's true, actually.
Either you are really good and then they're really good, or it's always like that. I don't know.
There were no buts. Essentially, they didn't stop us at any point. They were like, yeah, cool, let's make it. And, you know, until this day, I don't think they had any idea how they were going to do that. I think they were just going to wing it. And so we came in and said...
The different scenarios.
They did not consider that beforehand until we were like, yeah, like
have
to think
this?
About the happy and the non-so-happy path.
Yeah.
You know, something actually... If something doesn't work, if your wallet doesn't connect, you can't just be like...
Sorry.
Well, I don't think they were even going to say sorry, you know? Like, there was just no...
Break.
Yeah, it was just going to break, and then
keep
you're going
to back to Web 2.
Sit there like, where is my money gone, right? Yeah. So we thought, how can you make it so something doesn't work and then you feel like there's a way to solve it? Like, you know, when you pay for your T-shirt online, if your card doesn't go through, in the form, it shows an error message and it says, you know... CVV, it's wrong, or exactly.
Yeah. Have no money, whatever.
Yeah.
Cases, yeah.
There was, man.
There's, let's talk about the other project, the most recent one.
Yeah, so, because, yeah,
the
after.
One with the skulls.
Oh, yeah, that was a cool one. How many have we done in the end?
We've done two this year, and then the third one wasn't, it was for a Web3 company, but it wasn't.
But it wasn't Web3. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
These two were the two most exciting ones, let's put it that way, because they were like really out there.
Yeah.
Were projects, like NFT projects.
Yeah. So the first one that we talked about, the sloths, Perezosos, that one was from the beginning end to end, right?
Correct.
This one, it was an existing established project.
Yep.
That it was... as we speak, I think they're running the test. So we can't disclose too much about them, sadly. Yep. But they are implementing the gamification, I think. You know the brief better than I do.
It basically is the play to earn, what they call the play to earn.
I want to frame it. It's an established project, very successful. They've delivered on everything up until today.
Yep. They did what the other guys couldn't do.
Exactly.
So they basically passed the first and most difficult round for an NFT project, which is like being able to sell the NFT and get people excited in the community to buy into it. And then,
the next step in the roadmap is the
display to earn, which is basically, again, so that, you know, people can understand if they don't, is as simple as the... name says it, is you have an NFT, and then
from that project,
yep. And then that gives you access to a game, and then you can earn money, or other NFTs or actual crypto. The other way around it, actually, which was really interesting, I didn't know this until I worked on this project, is that you can also buy into the game. You can play the game without having an NFT. So you just put some crypto in the wallet, you connect your wallet to this game, and then you start a game and you start playing. So
there's two ways to get into this space.
There's two ways to engage, which was actually a bit of a headache.
What was the most impressive prize?
They had some really cool stuff. They had like
they had the ugly shoes that I hate.
Yeah, they had some physical stuff as well. That was cool, man, because and challenging, because they had physical prizes you can earn, as well as other NFTs, as well as crypto, as well as I guess other chances to play for free.
Oh, like more tickets and stuff.
Exactly.
Or spins, I think they call it.
Because there was a, it was a spin the wheel game, right? Yeah. So,
man, those visuals are sick.
Yeah. I think
they're really good. And again, the guys in charge of the project, they were just like,
go for your life, be creative.
You know, it really shows what you can do.
Oh man, can we talk about the criteria again? Like seriously, that was another project where we said, there's not a lot of money in this.
Well, I said, fuck it, stay away from that. I'm not touching it. First of all, I didn't have time at the time, back then.
Yeah.
And I was like, Ale, if we take that on board, it's going to be all you, and then I'll be helping you out a little bit here and there.
And like, man, I couldn't sleep. I was like, I have to take this project. Otherwise, I'm not going to be happy with myself. Yeah, seriously, man. Like when we almost said no to it.
Well, there was a point where it's just like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And then you made me come back, crawl for it.
Yeah.
crawling for it.
Well, because I thought this is the opportunity for us to do something really cool, because there's going to be a lot of creative freedom here. Mm-hmm. And also, man, like the visuals were already really cool. So I thought, oh, man, this is like the perfect platform to take it to the next level. So we took the project.
But?
And did it. No, there's no but. We had so much fun.
Well, there is but. It was no profit for us.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going through the criteria.
Oh, to the criteria. Yeah.
We ticked all the other boxes except for that one.
Yeah.
And we went in making peace with the fact that it wasn't going to be profitable for us.
But can I say that's probably one of my favorite projects that I worked on.
No, you can't say that, man.
Not on camera. In the last, years almost, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw you thriving there. You went into the rabbit hole looking for sound effects.
Man, like, cause you know, the game in itself, designing a game, it's a whole different art, right?
Because I remember looking at the brief. And then it's like, this component itself is just like another project, which was the game part.
Massive. You have to appreciate the way in which game designers create every little interaction, buttons, the sound.
Man, to that point, like out of Web3, but back into consoles.
Yeah.
I recently got a PS5.
Yeah.
I played like a total of 10 minutes in the last 2 weeks. but man, the controller.
Yeah.
It's far out. It's amazing. Like every single thing, it triggers like there's resistance on the buttons,
the triggers.
There's resistance on that.
Yep.
There's a speaker on that bit.
Yep.
You can blow air into the microphone and then interacts with the screen.
I was going to say,
it's got a little speaker. I already said that.
Those 10 minutes, you're missing out on a lot more. And I'm not like a hardcore gamer.
Oh, man. I haven't had a console in years. Actually, I sold my previous console because I haven't played it in like years.
There you go. But I think as a designer, the more video games you play, actually, if you play video games and then you get a brief like this where you design all the interactions and all the components, you go, wow. Because there are games.
It takes like years, man.
Bro, it's like, it's crazy. Like every detail in it, exactly. It takes forever to get right. And some of these games go crazy. Interfaces in the games, huge. Actually, I remember doing research for this, for like the UI for this project. Game. Yeah. And I don't know why I went back to Crazy Taxi. I don't know if you ever played Crazy Taxi.
No, but we talked about...
I think I'll show you.
I think we talked about some projects that... To get inspiration from. Yeah, yeah, you went to Crazy Taxi.
Crazy Taxi, I've always loved that game as a kid. Long story short, I looked it up and I was watching some videos because I actually, you know, yeah. I don't have it anymore. It was on Sega Dreamcast. So it was very old console.
Yeah.
And so I haven't played it in years, but I remember being so addictive. So I thought, what's in this game that I can take with me, and the interface the interface is really simple.
Yeah,
but what's really cool about it is that it's got sound effects.
Right.
So one that was so distinctive to me.
Like interactions.
Yeah.
They have effects.
Yeah. So when you're selecting the players, like one that it stuck with me because it's so simple, but it stuck with me. You're in this car, like you're supposed to be a taxi driver, right? Yeah. But they're all like cool taxi drivers and they're all like crazy and whatnot. And so once you go play, there is an engine sound like vroom, like starting
when
the car.
When you hit play. Right.
So it was something that simple like that I'm like, of course. Makes sense. It just instantly came to me. I'm like, this is why sound effects in games are so important.
It makes sense in a game, but then... Every time I pick up like the cameras or a phone, that's the first thing I turn off, you know, the sounds in the buttons, like the keypad.
Yeah.
I can get a haptic feedback on the keyboard, which I don't think iPhone has. I don't know, because they're inferior.
Oh, they you can get that.
No, you get the sound, but you don't get the vibration.
Oh, I don't think iPhone does that.
No, but I keep that on. That's my point. I keep that on, but I turn off the sounds because I think it's so annoying. But in the game, man,
it makes a huge difference. Right? It makes a huge difference. Anyway, I kind of went on a tangent there because I actually get excited
about
it.
Let's go play some right now.
Yeah, I get super excited about the project. But long story short, we build a game. We designed a game. We didn't build it. And so, it's in the build right now.
But it works. We'll just have to wait and see. And by the way, I've said to you before, it's an amazing job you did there.
Thanks,
and
brother.
Desktop and mobile, it still works. You know, sometimes all those bits and pieces get lost.
Yeah.
And I remember you doing the whole thing and I would just come in and then have a fresh look at it.
Yeah.
And it was very minimal, the feedback that I will give you.
Yeah. But thanks, man. I appreciate it.
It's all good, man.
I loved it. I always kept saying that.
I had to pick up your slack on the other projects, but that's fine.
You had to, man. That was a sacrifice. Yeah. But you know what? I kept saying that because I had so much fun in the project.
Yeah.
It just was so easy to kind of do something cool and look good.
You were just in the flow the whole time, right?
Yeah. So
that's a good. That was a good one, and. The last one that we definitely cannot disclose the client, sadly. We did it in collaboration with a branding agency.
Yep.
And they didn't have the in-house capability, so they called us and it's like, can you guys take on this job? And we said yes.
Cool company, though.
Pioneers, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're the next...
Like you and I were like, oh man, that's a massive brand. Let's work with them.
Yeah, that's amazing. They're amazing at what they do, and they have all these brands working with them. I'm just completely turning back to the and that one, even though the website was for the corporate, it's what it's called a corporate site. So it's not the consumer facing, but it's a corporate site.
Yeah.
The biggest challenge is there. Help me out if I miss one, but it was a lot of people involved. In that project.
Heaps, yeah. It's a big team.
Big team. We had branding. We have creative team.
Yeah.
We have developers.
Yeah.
And we in the digital team, which by team, I mean you and I.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the client, they have their own teams with their own team members. So a lot of people involved. That was one. The second one is the time difference. The meetings were just like or really early or quite late, or somebody was on the East Coast.
They were based in different, I don't know if we can say the countries, but like
We were scattered around.
Yeah.
Right? And someone was...
around the world, let's put it that way. World,
yeah. And if it was 7 a.m. here, it was probably 11 p.m. for somebody.
Yeah.
The other one, I didn't get it. feeling that there was a brand guidelines or anything.
No, so that was challenging, actually.
So they didn't know what they want until we presented to them.
Yep.
And they didn't know if it was too much or too little of a color or the use of a font, you know?
Remember we had like the first meeting with them and like it kind of felt as if...
It was too blocky.
Yeah. and there was all these people in the meeting and there were no like set... like expectations aside from like the delivery and the deadline, but
which was insane. I think they gave us like 3.5 weeks to deliver
like a full site,
desktop, mobile, website.
Yeah, but they didn't have like a clear direction of what they wanted, which was tricky because we looked at the brand and thought, well, there's a lot of opportunity here, as we always do. Mm-hmm. You know, we always want to take something to the next level, which is good, man. Like that's how we operate, right? And so we saw that as an opportunity. Again, we looked at it and like went all in. Remember, we had like 20 different variations, of us like jamming and getting excited about what the brand could become.
We were in the middle of the conference as well in Brisbane.
Yes.
When this project kicked on. So yes. I remember being out all day.
Yeah.
And then coming back to the hotel and then jamming until like midnight or something like that.
Yeah.
Because we were just not happy. Well, not happy, but we were still exploring
different
avenues.
Yeah.
And I think that was, that project was interesting. We went in going in. I thought it was going to be a bit, you know, boring, but it wasn't boring.
It was really good. We made it. Yeah. We made it work.
It was profitable.
Yeah.
It was creative enough, and I think...
Yeah, aside from the pushbacks, because we had a lot of pushback.
But again, I think the pushbacks came down to the branding, the brand guidelines that didn't exist. So they were not sure if that was...
Yeah.
We're not presenting to the executive team, we're presenting to the branding team.
Yeah,
so
true.
So they need to play it safe before going up.
Yeah. Any takeaways from the Web3?
Yeah, man, I think it's early stages. If you want to get into it, you should get into it now.
Yeah.
Learn maybe what can you bring to the table. Not necessarily buying into an NFT space. Sorry, into an NFT project. Mm. But definitely the future, man. I think the future, and maybe in 5-10 years from now, we'll watch this video and then see if we are wrong or not.
Only one way to find out.
All right. Let's wrap it up, man.
Let's go.
Avanos.